Russia has been taking measures to replenish significant losses of military equipment during its invasion of Ukraine, according to the Ukrainian Armed Forces in its latest operational update. The country's south has seen heavy fighting as Russia seeks to take key port areas around the Black Sea. It's reported that Ukrainian troops are digging in around the city of Mykolaiv, where people there endure daily Russian attacks. Meanwhile, a senior official at the US Defense Department has described Russia's offensive in Ukraine's eastern Donbass region as very tepid and minimal at best. Dr. Mike Martin is a former British Army officer and visiting research fellow in war studies at King's College London. He's been giving me his assessment of the Russian offensive in Donbass.
Your listeners will remember that the Russians switched from Kiev being their main focus, the focus being in the east three weeks ago, and they then had to pull all those units out of Kiev and bring them back round to the east, trying as best they could to put them back together. Obviously, they'd been pretty mauled. The Russian units had been pretty mauled by the Ukrainian forces north of Kiev. And they had one opportunity, really, in the east, and that was to save those units up, get them back up to strength, try and, you know, put them together and rearm them, and then have one big push to try and get through the Ukrainian lines. Unfortunately, what they seem to have done, and this is probably because of this accelerated timescale that your listeners would have heard about. They need, you know, something to show for May the 9th, which is the Victory Day parade in Moscow. They fed those units piecemeal into the east. So rather than one big push, they've sort of battle group by battle group. And what that's meant is that the Ukrainians have quite slowly given up ground, but they've given up ground whilst inflicting great damage on these Russian units that are being fed in. So to take 2 or 3 kilometers, the Russians lose 600 troops. And you can imagine if you multiply that across a wide front, it has been a very unsuccessful strategy for the Russians to mirror really their sort of unsuccessful approach up in the north. The quality of Russian generalship has been appalling.
And from what's understood of Russian military capability at this stage in the war, what's their capacity to continue to sustain? I mean, you're talking about those really quite staggering casualty figures. Presumably they have a limited capacity to sustain that, absorb that.
Yeah, so obviously it's very hard to put, you know, very, very accurate figures on this. But broadly speaking, they started out the campaign with approximately 200,000 personnel. They've probably lost maybe 25,000 dead so far, and probably the same again, if not more, wounded, captured, you know, missing in action. So let's say 50,000. So that's a quarter of their force. Again, broadly speaking, in military terms, we say that a force is combat ineffective once it's lost about a third of its personnel. And the reason we say that is because if you've lost a third, you'll have lost enough of your leadership and specialist elements that you're not really able to operate cohesively as a force. Now, on the other hand, Russia has brought units from elsewhere, from Georgia, from Syria, from their eastern district over by China. So there will have been, you know, some replenishment of those troops. But again, these are guys who aren't trained and so on and so forth. There's also this question of whether there'll be a big general mobilization on the 9th of May. But I don't think that's going to help Russia, because then what you're talking about is taking civilians and then training them and then throwing them into the war. So to loop back to your question, I think that we're reaching a point in the east where we're going to start to see stuff going in the other direction. So rather than slow Russian advances, because the Russians are going to run out of troops and equipment, we might actually start to see the Ukrainians pushing the Russians back. And actually, there's a few seeds in the last couple of days of some Ukrainian counterattacks, maybe the first flush of that.
So this Russian offensive then, maybe if your analysis is correct, has at most weeks remaining before maybe we see a very significant and perhaps, you know, in terms of this war, a step change offensive or counterattack by the Ukrainians.
Absolutely. I think the Ukrainians have been doing a couple of things. In addition to what I mentioned, which was this slow retreat to attrit the Russian forces, they've also been, I guess in military terminology, what we might call attacking in depth. So your listeners have probably seen, you know, the oil refineries are being hit. the oil storage depots within Russia were being hit. There were those bombs in Transnistria against the state security operation there, which again is staffed by Russians, or it certainly works with the Russians. And so they're doing this to keep the to tie down Russian troops, to keep them off balance, to make them think, you know, they're going to be attacked everywhere. And then in the last couple of days, what we've seen actually around Kharkiv, which is the second biggest city in Ukraine in the northeast, we've seen some significant Ukrainian counterattacks up there in an attempt to cut off a Russian supply line running down to Izyum and trying to create a pocket of Russian troops. Now, this is exactly what the Ukrainians did north of Kyiv. They counterattacked significantly, they attrited the Russians, and they counterattacked significantly behind their lines to create a pocket of Russian troops, which they could then capture, surround, maul, do with as they wished. And I think that's what exactly what they're trying to create here. So you said
No, I was just going to say, you've also written that that Crimea will start to come into play. Crimea seized by the Russians in 2014. Is this a war, and perhaps a very long war, to restore Ukraine to its pre-2014 territory and boundaries?
That's precisely what it is. The Ukrainians have no option in terms of strategic aims other than to remove Russian military forces from their sovereign territory, so back, you know, at Russians out of Donbass, out of Crimea. And the reason they have no other choice is because if they leave any Ukrainian sovereign territory in Russian hands, effectively they are inviting them, either under Putin or under the next leader, to come back and have another go. That's exactly what happened in 2014. The response was not robust enough, and effectively did not deter the Russians, and so they thought, brilliant, we can have another go at this.
And that's Dr. Mike Martin from King's College London.